You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
About, it's our weekly catch-up with the National Party's Amy Adams.
Sorry, hi.
Hi, Stuart.
This is my first time. I'm really freaking out, but it's lovely to talk with you.
No, good on you. You're doing well. It's my first time.
Where are you in the country today?
I'm out in Seoul today. I was going to be travelling around. There were some changes, so now I'm back in my own patch and about to head off to an opening of a local volunteer fire station. So it's good.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's nice being a local MP.
Yes, I mean, exactly. It's what you've got to do. Yeah. All right, I thought we'd better get the nasty stuff out of the way first. So TVNZ have released a new poll this week from Colmar Brunton, which showed Nationals down a few points and below Labor. How did you react to that?
Well, to be honest, with the couple of weeks we've had and all the mud that's been thrown around and pointed in our direction, which is sort of proving itself to be baseless, I think to be sitting at 43% is something we're pretty comfortable with. I think if we hadn't had, various, as I say, mud being thrown, I think it would have been a very strong poll for us, and we're pretty confident we can get back to that.
Being obviously in an MMP system, is it worrying at all to you that now you're behind the government block as a whole quite a bit?
No, not really. As I say, this has been an extraordinary couple of weeks. I think just about the one thing every commentator agrees on is that the last couple of weeks have been absolutely extraordinary and unprecedented. We're not going to take too much about something short-term. We think we can get that back and get ourselves into a strong position.
Looking towards 2020, do you need to start looking for other friends, other parties that you can work with in a coalition?
Well, MMP, as you say, is a strange beast, and I think New Zealand is still evolving its understanding of the way it works. What we've sort of seen over that time is, to begin with, an explosion of minor parties and then playing quite a big role, and then over time what we've seen is minor parties who go into coalition with government suffering and often falling by the wayside. And one of the, I know it might sound a bit off track, but bear with me, but one of the reasons I'm concerned about the Waka jumping legislation is because it actually makes it much, much harder for new parties to get going. So we've got a situation now where both of the government's coalition partners are polling one sort of consistently just under 5% over time, and the other just above. So look, anything could happen to those two. And the reality is, with the way wasted vote works in the MMP system, if you can poll sort of 47%, you're pretty much guaranteed to be government. So it's a strange environment. It's not as clear cut as people think, and we're pretty confident that we can get our vote up to a point where we're in a pretty good position.
Winston said the other day that he wouldn't rule out working with National. What do you think about that?
Well, Winston always tries to play this game of ducks and drakes, but I think the country will be a lot more savvy this time to realising that if you're voting for Winston, you're voting for a continuation of this Labor-Greens government. If that's what they want, they know how to vote. If they don't want that, they need to vote for us.
Now, the other thing to come out of this poll was, of course, the preferred Prime Minister, which showed that Simon Bridges had dropped down to 7%. Surely that's not a nice thing to see.
Oh, look, I'm sure, everyone always wants their own personal numbers to be high, but the reality is, as Simon said, party vote is the one that determines who the government is. And we've got poll ratings still in the pretty respectable 40s, even after a very difficult couple of weeks. And that's our party vote under Simon's leadership. So he's still got the unanimous backing of our caucus because we think he's led us through a very tough time. And as I say, the party continues to do very well under him.
So you think he'll make it through to the next election?
Well, I will say the caucus is absolutely behind Simon, and we're not worried about the personal numbers. What we focus on is the party vote numbers. And yep, as you say, they dipped a couple of points, but in the light of what the last few weeks have been, we're comfortable with that. You never like a drop, but we're quite confident that we can get back to a very strong party vote number, and that's the one that ultimately determines elections.
In that same poll, Judith Collins was on 5%. Do you think that indicates anything significant?
No, I just think it means we have quite a number of strong, effective politicians, and Judith's got very high name recognition. She's been in politics a long time. She's got a very high public profile, and she does a good job. So I think it's just a reflection that, as I say, we have a number of very strong people in our party.
All right, moving on to the inquiry that was launched this week into the National Party's culture by Simon Bridges. Do you back it?
Well, first of all, it's not an inquiry. I think the media are trying to perhaps make this into something a little more than is. What Simon said is that as a leader of an organisation, it's on him to make sure that we do have all of the right processes and policies in place to make sure our workplace is a safe one. And I think in light of the last couple of weeks, what he said he's going to do is sit down with parliamentary services in particular and make sure that we do have the right processes and policies in place. And I think, frankly, that's the sort of thing that any organisation needs to do periodically. And Simon's just reflecting that it's timely for us to go back through and make sure that we do have the right structures in place.
I know that at least one MP before the not inquiry, whatever you want to call it, was launched.
Review.
I know that at least one MP said it wasn't needed. What sort of side do you sit on?
Well, I don't think the events of the last couple of weeks have shown any fundamental issues with the way the party operates. But at the same time, I think it's always healthy for an organisation to have a look at itself and say, is there anything that we need to review? Do we have the right steps in place? Are there any lessons that we can take? I think if you're not prepared to at least ask those questions, then you know, any organisation runs the risk of getting out of step. But I don't think, as I say, I don't think anything has shown up any particular issues. But at the same time, I personally think it's a very healthy thing to go back and check and see if there is anything that can be improved.
Also this week, the party president, Peter Goodfellow, defended his handling of complaints of bullying. Do you think the National Party is a safe place to be?
I've always found it to be a safe place to be. I mean, what's come out over the last few weeks obviously is very shocking, and I'm very concerned at the accounts that the women in Melanie Reid's stories revealed. I don't know and who all of them are, obviously, and I don't know the circumstances in which that occurred. But certainly from my perspective, I think the party is very, very cautious and concerned about looking after the people, not only the MPs, but actually far more importantly the staff and the volunteers and everyone who works in the structure. And in that regard, I don't think we're different to any workplace or organisation where everything is done. But of course, you will occasionally have lone individuals who don't perform in the way that we would want them to. And when we found out about this one, we dealt with them in the most severe way possible. I think that shows the zero tolerance we have for any unacceptable behaviour.
But if any of these came out in 2016, do you think it should have taken so long for anything to change?
What do you mean if any of these came out in 2016?
Well, I know there were allegations in 2016 that were handled privately, which is obviously acceptable, but I mean, do you think that we should now be looking into culture?
Well, the only one that I'm aware of that has been discussed publicly is the issue of his falling out with Katrina Bungard in Auckland. And Katrina herself says that she's very, very happy with the way it was dealt with and the way it was resolved. And certainly from that, it didn't feel that there was anything further that needed to be done. So I personally take the view of the victim. If she was happy with the way the process ran, she thought that it was done in the best way it could be to look after her interests, then I think that actually speaks to us having very good processes in place.
And moving on to the fuel tax, which I know is something that you're very passionate about. This week, Simon Bridges said the government was discussing it with the Wellington City Council, yet both of them denied that was the case. Is there something that we don't know about?
Well, we know that Justin Lester has been absolutely in and out of Phil Twyford's office. And in fact, we've had Phil Twyford just in very recent times making it very clear to councils that they should consider putting proposals forward and the like. So I think the government now has realised it's got this one wrong in the public mood and has now been forced into a bit of a back down by ruling it out to other regions. But I think the fact that the government passed legislation just a couple of months ago saying that the regional fuel tax could be available in other regions from 2021 makes it pretty clear that they had intended it to go wider. Phil Twyford was suggesting to councils to come and make proposals for it to go wider. We've had any number of councils up in the country say they're planning on making applications for it. And then, of course, we've had the Prime Minister have to, off the top of her head, seemingly come out and say, well, it's not going any wider. But to suggest that was always the plan, I think, is laughable.
So do you think that was a win for the National Party then, having the Prime Minister say that it's going to be limited to Auckland?
I think it was a win for the people of New Zealand. I mean, obviously, Auckland's got it in place. But actually, the indications are that it's not just Auckland that's paying for it. The petrol companies very clearly seem to be spreading that cost across the country. But for the other regions in New Zealand who might be facing an additional 11.5 cents tax over and above the extra fuel excise that the government's putting in place, I think they'll be very relieved that when petrol prices are already forcing them to drive 30% less, as we've seen, and making them choose between food and electricity, as the survey out this week showed. Food and petrol, as the survey out this week showed. I think they will certainly be relieved to know they're not going to be whacked with yet another fuel tax, but they are still facing two more excise increases. And again, we don't think that those are right at this time.
And yesterday in the House, I believe you had a little bit of a back and forth with the Finance Minister, Grant Robertson, about fuel tax.
Most days.
Yeah, well, I can imagine. Can you tell me a little bit about what was discussed this week or yesterday?
Yeah, well, look, this week we've really been focusing in the House, certainly myself with Grant, but all of our front bench and ministers, really just hammering them on the fact that under this government, cost of living is going up so sharply. In fact, just today, I don't know if you've caught up with it, but Stats New Zealand has put out the cost of living numbers that show that actually it's the super annuitants and the lowest income households who are being hit the hardest by these cost of living increases, and that's largely driven by petrol being at such high levels and rents going up as the government's residential property reforms are starting to bite. Now, all of those things are within the government's control, and in our view, they just haven't thought through the consequences when they've, you know, rushed out with fine-sounding ideals about protecting tenants and building infrastructure. All of those are laudable objectives, don't get me wrong, but you've got to understand the impact on the market. And if you go too hard too fast, as we've been saying all along, it's actually the poorest families who get hit the hardest, and that's exactly what today's data shows.
And I think one thing that Grant Robertson questioned, I think it was to you yesterday, was how National would fund things like transport without using fuel tax, which is obviously what they're arguing it's necessary for.
Yeah, and look, that's very simple. I mean, David Clark said the same thing last week, and I got the Speaker to allow me to answer it, which is that, first of all, National would not be wasting a whole lot of money on things like a free first-year fees policy, which has seen no more students, a universal baby bonus, and a winter heating payment that goes out to millionaire superannuitants who don't need it. So what we'd be doing, first of all, is spending the money that we have from taxpayers far more effectively, so we don't need to be raising more taxes. We wouldn't be using road user charges to pay for trolley buses down Dominion Road, where there are far better ways of addressing Auckland's transport needs, congestion and travel out to the airport, and indeed that's exactly what Infrastructure New Zealand are saying as well. And we certainly wouldn't be, as I say, ramping up taxes at a time where petrol is already at an incredibly high level. So it's, you know, investment in infrastructure is not the issue here. The issue here is what other money you're wasting that could have gone into these proposals, and whether the money you're taking is being spent in the best way.
Now, just before we go, sticking on the theme about talking about the government, today it's been 1 year since this government was officially sworn in. How would you rate them out of 10?
Pretty low. Look, I think, not surprisingly, probably. Sorry, my alarm's going in the background there. Well, I'd rate them pretty low. What we've seen in the first year under this government is our economy slowing down at a time when it should be getting stronger and stronger, given the tailwinds that it's got. We've got cost of living pressures ramping up with, as I say, record petrol prices and rising rents and the looming electricity crisis those in the market are talking about. We've got more strikes happening in the past 12 months than we've seen in our 9 years put together. And we've got 9,000 more people on the unemployment benefit and 20,000 more people than last year seeking emergency food hardship grants. So for all of the fine rhetoric, which sounds lovely and laudable, the reality is actually they've taken a pretty well-performing country where people were getting new jobs, getting off benefits, having their incomes raised and cost of living was controlled, and really started to put a pretty big handbrake on.
Amy, thank you very much for your time. It's been really lovely to chat with you this week after
nice
my little
to
tech
issue. Enjoy your first day at the control.
Oh, thank you very much.
See you later.
Bye.
The National Party's Amy Adams on 95 BFM.
The Wire. That was a 95 BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.